Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're supposed to be easygoing, relaxed. It's holidays. People are hustling and bustling, driving to and fro. Last-minute Christmas shopping. And I see this article. Nativity scenes removed from Guantanamo dining halls after complaints. And who is it who made the entire military remove the nativity scenes? None other than this piece of human offal who should never have been born. Mickey Weinstein, president of the so-called Military Religious Freedom Foundation, has forced the Air Force, the Army, the Navy, the Marines to do what he wants. Now, how could one little man like this, one invisible little fruitcake, Mickey Weinstein, force the military to do what he wants? What kind of country have we become? I ask myself. Listen to the headline. The commander of the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base decided Wednesday to move nativity scenes from two dining halls following complaints that the decorations improperly promoted Christianity. Now, let me tell you what it provokes in my mind. I'm a big TV watcher. I relax at night watching television. And one of the shows I like to watch, one of the channels, is Military History. And last night I happened to watch the war in the Pacific, World War II, that is. And I see that 15,000 men died in taking Okinawa, American men, that is. Or I see that 5,000 men died taking Iwo Jima. And I see the crosses. I see the seas of Christian crosses. I see men being given the last rites by ministers. I see boys being led to prayer before they go into battle by ministers. I see that they have faith and belief in God in order to face the bullets and the bombs and the shrapnel that will be coming their way, knowing for sure that some of them will die. And for this, they died so one lousy, rotten piece of human trash named Mickey Weinstein can lead them around like they're worthless nothings? And you think that our enemy is radical Islam? In England today, the two pieces of garbage from Africa who cut up that soldier in the streets of London while screaming Allah Akbar was sentenced today in London, in Londonistan. And do you know what one of those bums did? He kissed the Quran in front of the family of the man that they killed. They broke into tears. Instead of leaping across the aisles in Old Bailey, instead of leaping and showing what England is made of, they broke into tears. Here in America, we're not too far away, I say to myself. With Mickey Weinstein taking out nativity scenes from Guantanamo without a shot being fired, what does Mickey Weinstein have to worry about? No one's going to stop him. He's taken over the entire military. So what am I getting at? Nothing. It's a big emptiness. It's a big emptiness. America has no core. It has no center. America is a mouse whose neck has been snapped in a trap. What is that trap called? You name it. America is a giant mouse whose neck has been snapped in a trap. You can call it the snap of the trap. The trap could be called political correctness. I don't like the phrase. It's lost all meaning. I have other words for it, but I'm on the radio. Now, there is a cure for this. But again, being on a national radio program, I can't give you the cure for it on the radio show. But you know what the cure is. The cure is quite severe. But you're facing a war to the death, and they are winning and you're losing. So that's the opening. Now play that again so I can start the regular show now that I got that off my soul. Welcome to the Savage Nation for Thursday evening, the 19th of December, 2013. Now let's begin with some of the stories that caught my attention. Pope Francis is at it again. At his weekly general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis urged Christians to imitate Jesus Christ by being humble and small among the small. He trashed the prosperity gospel, and he called pompous Christians ugly pagans. I'm not making any of this up. This is not a Saturday Night Live skit about a mad pope. He said, this is the pope now, it is an ugly thing when you see a Christian who doesn't want to humble himself, who doesn't want to serve, a Christian who struts about everywhere. It's ugly, huh? That is not a Christian. That's a pagan. He warned Christians against placing themselves above others and called on the faithful to be in solidarity with the poor. Well, I would say to the Pope that I would think that our Muslim friends would agree with him, and they should be humble to all Muslims and let the Muslims step on them like doormats. This is amazing what's going on right in front of your eyes. New York City autopsy, Florida pastor died from drugs. The New York City medical examiner says the combined effects of coke and heroin killed the popular pastor of a Florida megachurch. You hear this? Results released today ruled the death of Zachary Timms accidental. Accidental? He was found dead on the floor of a room in the upscale W Hotel in Times Square on August 2011. Timms was the senior pastor at the New Destiny Christian Center in Apopka, one of the largest congregations in Central Florida. He also appeared on Christian TV and radio programs. Timms started the 7,000-member church in 1996. The Orlando Sentinel said Timms had been in and out of jail as a young man and hoped the church's youth center would keep the youngsters away from drugs and crime. Church officials did not immediately respond to a comment request. Died of coke and heroin. You hear it in the Times. It's unbelievable. I mean, now you understand what's going on both sides. You get whiplashed. You get whiplashed. You don't know which way to turn. You suspect that it's all fraudulent. You ready for the next one tonight for your Thursday night? Obama frees 8 crack offenders, including Clarence Aaron. President Obama today commuted the sentences of 8 crack offenders. I have the order of clemency right here. That's right. He didn't release or give clemency to any of the soldiers falsely accused of crimes in Iraq for doing their jobs. Instead, he commuted crack offenders. I guess he's dashing off to Hawaii any day and he wanted to do something good for humanity. 855-400-728. What can you say to me? Don't even call. There's nothing ready. I'm not ready for your calls. I killed a mouse last night. I was going to talk about the mouse trap. But at the risk of you misinterpreting who I am, I didn't want to talk about the mousetrap. You see, here's the story. I had to go to a holiday event last night, and I took the night off from radio. Many of you were lost for the evening. You didn't know what to do with yourself because Uncle Mike was not there. Now, I admit that I understand what this hollowness feels like. But on the other hand, I'm a human being, and once in a while I have to join the real world other than the world of radio. So I went to a very nice holiday dinner with a group of about 30-some-odd people. Very nice young people. You know, it was nice. Came home. Well, let me turn the clock back. 2 weeks ago, I killed Mickey. I suspected that mice don't come in ones. They usually come in twos, as do most animals in the animal kingdom, including mankind, except in America, where they come in patches of ones, duplicate ones. And so I assumed if there was a Mickey, there would be a Minnie somewhere, or if I had knocked off the Minnie, there'd be a Mickey somewhere. Now, I would have lived and let lived. I would have taken the advice of someone I met when I was a young boy when he once said mice have to eat too. Unfortunately, I no longer live in a barn. In fact, I never lived in a barn. But if I lived in a barn, I wouldn't care as much, but I live in a house. And once you let vermin in a house, they tend to reproduce. And when they reproduce, they, as you well know, take over your entire property. And also, mouse droppings are amongst the most toxic of all. You can die from rodent droppings. So I'm a fanatic about these things. So I got a trap a few weeks ago, and I told you we put it out. Well, first, we tried all of your advice about peanut butter. It doesn't work. It's too gushy. Go back to Walt Disney. He knew his stuff. Cheese. They like cheese. You put a small piece of provolone on it. It's stiff. So when they touch the cheese, the snapper, bingo. All right, so I got Mickey 2 weeks ago. I came home, and he was as dead as a mouse that had been snapped. He was not living. And I took him, and I told you I live near the water. I threw him in the bay. That's all. End of story with a pair of gloves. I didn't want, like, a flea to jump on me. So I figured, great. He had eaten into my food, and that was enough once he started eating. So I got rid of him. Now I'm 2 weeks on mouse-free. All of a sudden, it starts in again. So yesterday morning, I woke up, and a banana had been eaten. Horrible. Disgusting. A piece of the banana had been hollowed out by a mouse. I said, that's the end of this. Got another mouse trap, put the thing there, went to the party, come home, turned the lights on, and in the dark, Teddy and I hear, Yes, the poor mouse was dying. It was not dead. So you see, even a mouse wants to live. And it is a sad story in a certain way. The damn thing didn't kill the mouse. It just broke its neck, and it was dying, probably in pain. Not a pretty sight. Nobody wants an animal to suffer, least of all I. But what can you do? It's a mouse, and it's a mouse trap, and it was trying to eat into my food, and it had to go. So I looked at it. It looked at me. Its eyes were looking right at me with its neck broken, and I picked it up with a pair of gloves, opened the door, walked out to the end of the deck, and threw it in the bay. And that's it. What am I trying to tell you? You figure it out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Dog 560 KSFO. Yeah, well, you see, I gave you a little metaphor just now. It was purely intuitive. I started by talking about a rat in human fur who has single-handedly destroyed Christianity in the military. Everyone's afraid of him, yet he's nothing more than a human mouse, in my opinion. And then I talked about a mouse in my house that invaded, and I guess I was getting at something. I don't quite know what it was in my own intuitive way. I mean, it was either the mouse or me. Either he was going to eat me out of house and home and infest my house with mouse droppings, which are toxic, and I would have gotten sick and died, or, you know, I had to put him in a mouse trap. See, there comes a time in a nation's history or in a person's history where no matter how nice you are, no matter how pacifist you are, no matter how good you are, no matter how kind you are, no matter how Christian you are, there's a time that you have to stop turning the other cheek or you'll have no cheek left to turn. And that's all I'm going to say on the issue. Period. End of story. When I look at England and see what happened there, and it started with by a slow degree of attrition, England was once one of the most, was the most dominant nation on earth. Remember the saying, Rudyard Kipling, the sun never sets on the British Empire? Well, it sure has shriveled up, hasn't it? It has shriveled up. There was a good article written by Selwyn Duke, Britain Savages Itself. And it was about me with the Oxford Union being invited there. It's a big story. It's actually a very big story. It's bigger than the thing with the, I forget the name that the guys with the things they make. I don't know what this is called, the show. It's all over the media now. The guys in Louisiana, I don't even know the name of it. The Louisiana thing, with there's a big scandal, the gay issue. I don't even know what it is. I don't watch the show. Duck. I don't know what they do. They make duck things. I don't watch that kind of show. I don't like men with beards like that. They bother me. I don't care what the religion is or race. Anyone with a big beard like that, it gets me sick. I imagine there's dirty food in their beard. So I don't watch it. And I mean not even religious people. Whether it's crumb cake or a piece of halva, I don't want to look at it. I don't know. I just don't look. I don't care if they're Christian, Jews. It doesn't matter. I don't like big beards. So I don't watch it. But the thing is my story with England is bigger than the duck thing. But America is a moronic nation. So Selwyn Duke understands this, and he writes an article about it. He writes about Britain. I'm going to write about what it is. So he says, Americans have long wanted to love Britain. Now Britain doesn't even love herself. Those old films were made in the days when you could still say the sun never sets on a British Empire, which at one time ruled a quarter of the world's people. Now Britain's life clock reads a quarter to midnight. It didn't surprise me in the least when David Cameron's conservative government did nothing to remove Michael Savage from the banned list. After all, with the political spectrum situated where we're heading, UK conservatives are a lot like our quasi-moderate liberals. Britain is now the incredible shrinking land. Once a bold nation, certain that English was synonymous with civilization, it is now contracting culturally into ever-tightening coils of callow and craven political correctness. If a boy says he's a girl and wants to go to school dressed like Maid Marian, the headmaster, probably a mistress today, will order a round of sensitivity training for the rest of the 8-year-olds. And dare they question his gender perception, well, it's like the headmistress who recently threatened to attach a racial discrimination note to the record of any child who didn't attend an Islamic workshop. They'll be branded bigots. Can you believe this is what's going on in the England of Winston Churchill? Anyway, that's what he wrote. And that's where we are today because of a few mice. There are only a few blind mice threatening the rest of us because we're too kind. It's that simple. Kindness. It's killing us. They're killing us because we're too kind. It's that simple. We're too kind. We're too nice. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. Got that out of my system now. We can move on. I mean, the callers are coming in. I get it, but it's not about callers. It's not about that. See, you want to see metaphors, how they work in my head? Your metaphor. And I'm not joking about this. A theater collapsed in England. Theater collapsed in London. Witness say ceiling began to fall on viewers. To me, that's a metaphor for London. Apollo Theater collapsed in London. Witness says ceiling began to fall on viewers. England is falling on the viewers. England is falling on the English. People began screaming in the middle of Berlin, and the ceiling began collapsing. Anyway, I'm speaking to you as a novelist right now. It's like off the natch head. I'm giving you the natch head. I'm not giving you the logical head. Who goes to the theater anyway? Who in their right mind goes to the theater in this day and age? I don't understand it. Does anyone listening to the show still go to the theater? I don't understand that. I went a few times as a kid. My mother took me. I hated it. I don't like the smell of cheap perfume. I don't like coffers. I don't like my feet sticking to the floor. I just don't understand theater. Theater was invented before there was a movie. Am I wrong? How can you... Can you compare a theatrical performance? I know this is considered so barbaric. I understand that. But let's be real with each other. Can you compare lying in bed with a clicker with a choice of movies, documentaries, news, and flipping around, and going to the refrigerator, and having your own toilet, to sitting in a theater with your back rigid against a velvet seat created during Dickens' time? I mean, why would you go to a theater? Theater is dead. What is in a theater today that anyone needs? Oh, I know that if you're a thespian, you know, you need a live audience, the smell of the grease paint, and the roar of the crowd and all of that. I mean, that's what you read, but most of you don't go to the theater. All of you cultural superiority complexes will tell me how superior the theater is, yet you've not gone recently. It's like the opera itself. You ever go to an opera and see the people sitting there bored? Go to San Francisco, the most out-of-town provincial city in the United States of America. It's still very much like the Gold Rush, where the fallen wives put on expensive dresses, many of which they can't even afford. They get them for $35,000 on a trial basis and put the tag on the inside so they can return it the next day with sweat stains in the arm after they go to the Hilltop party at the Duke's house. But the point is, have you ever seen them behaving at an opera? I have. That's why I don't
join
go to the opera.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is. It's me. It's Michael Savage. So did you hear the press release that came out today? It's a big story in the media. It's only for people in the media, not for the regular folk out there who didn't read about it. I'll read it to you. Cumulus Media Networks, data today. Michael Savage jumps to over 200 stations nationwide, airing The Savage Nation in drive time as of January 2014. Show moves from evenings to the coveted 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time slot, beginning January 1, 2014, bringing Savage's unique brand of news, views, and reviews to a critical time slot on top radio stations across the nation. Savage Nation taking over the popular time slot where Sean Hannity used to be heard. Poor old Sean, on the biggest signals in the country. He got the mousetrap. I'll use the metaphor of the mousetrap all night tonight. He got the mousetrap. Stations carrying the new Savage Show include WABC New York, WLS Chicago, WBAP Dallas, WMAL Washington, KSFO San Francisco, and WJR Detroit. This is the biggest news. It's the biggest news in the media. But because I am hated, and so many people are jealous of me, rather. And they're ignoramuses, by the way. They're just ignorant, jealous people. You're not reading about it. Savage is the conservative king of storytelling. Oh, that should grate my enemies. And has moved millions with his candid insights, humor, and versatility. With a PhD from the University of California, having authored 28 books, including 6 New York Times bestsellers, Savage has become the Mark Twain of our time to many. It is Savage's unique views and wide variety of discussion topics, reaching beyond politics, that have made the Savage Nation immensely popular and also the number one stream talk radio show on the Internet. See, the facts don't lie, boys. I'm sorry to... It's that simple. Here's my own quote. You want to hear my quote, then I'll move on? This is the culmination of 2 decades in talk radio. I was born for drive time, where my pace matches that of America. Everyone dreams of being on the Cumulus Powerhouse signals. This is my dream come true, Savage said. It's simple, short, and sweet. See, here's the trick to PR. I'll teach you a lesson in PR. They asked me for my comment. Very short. I gave them 3 sentences. You can go on and on and on and on and on. 3 sentences. If you can remember any of it, you remembered something. You may remember where I said I was born for drive time. Or you may remember I said this is the culmination of 2 decades in talk radio. Or you may remember I said everyone dreams of being on the Cumulus Power Signals. Everyone may maybe you'll remember this is my dream come true. You might remember any of that. Or none of it. The Savage Nation is taking over the popular time slot where Sean Hannity used to be heard. Used to be heard. On the biggest signals in the country. Stations carrying the show include WABC, WLS, WBAP, WMAL, KSFO, and WJR. Now, I'm driving that home for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm victorious, and it's nice to be victorious, and I'm doing a victory lap. If I don't do it, who will do it for me? You? You're going to do it for me? Someone else is going to do it for me? It's a gigantic story for me, and it's a culmination of 20 years of work. I got to tell you, give me a minute to blow my own horn, if you don't mind, and I don't want to offend you, but I may anyway. Let me tell you something. When I started in radio, when I picked up that horn, I knew within a few days that I was born for this medium. It was very late in life. I had 3 other careers. I trained for something else entirely. But I knew in my mind that at the end of the day, I didn't know how long it would take me. I'd be in the winner's circle. And I always said I'd be in the top 3 at the end of the day. I told you, I've said that for many, over the years, I've said it on and off. Well, it's the end of a 20-year cycle. How many people would wait two decades for this? I have always had what I call jokingly within my family, no matter what things set me back, and many things have. I've had impediments put in my way. I put impediments in my own way. I've had things happen that threw me off. I always knew I'd win, and I always knew it would take a long time, and I was willing to wait out my competition. And I always had what I called in my own family, and this is a laudatory statement about the Chinese people, not a derogatory one. I always had a Chinese view of work and work ethic and winning, which is I used to say to myself when things went bad, I said, you know what? In the long run, I will see the long run. I see the long run. I'm going to win, and I could wait them out. And I waited them out. And this is not the end of it. This is just the beginning. I hate to go on and on about it, but he got bumped off 2 big stations. Something is going on in the radio world that only people in the business would understand, and I don't want to bore you with it. There's something very big changing for 2014. There are monstrous subterranean movements going on in this business, and I think you can pretty much figure out what they are. And I want to say one last thing on it. This idea of doing a television show, a radio show, and a TV show is a 1980s thing. Very greedy, very foolish. The smart ones got out of one medium and stayed in the other a long time ago. Remember Rush had a TV show and he was good at it? I love Rush's TV show. He dropped the TV show. He focused on what he does really good, radio, and it's worked real well for him. Remember even Leprechaun had a radio and TV show? Remember what Leprechaun did 4 years ago? Leprechaun O'Reilly, he dropped his radio show, focused on TV. He's done real well. Of course they gave up money when they did it. But in order to thrive in one medium, you got to give up the other. You can't do both, Sean. You can't. You can't. And if you think I'm undermining you, you're right. Because both of us are facing each other down right now. We're like 2 fighters in a ring, whether you want to accept it or not. And we're staring at each other as the referee says, get ready for January 2nd. And I'm telling you, you got to drop radio. Either run for office or just drop it. Because you're not going to make it in both. You got hammered in television, Sean. They moved you back an hour. Sorry, too bad you had a good run. In radio, you're being decimated. You're being moved off major signals because the young people just don't listen to you. They don't like you. They don't want to listen to your rubbish, that's all. And here I am. I'm older than you, and I'm beating you. Why? Well, you'll figure it out one day. Now, if I made this too personal, I'm not going to apologize. It just is. It's all about the mousetrap. I'm not putting my neck in a mousetrap for anybody anymore. Let me put it to you that way. And there's much more to this story than you may know. Many of these people thought they had me in the mousetrap for 20 years, but they didn't understand that they were setting the trap for themselves. Could have been a good rim shot just now. 855-407-282. So what do you want to talk about? Mice, mousetraps, nativity scenes, human mice that should be put in the mousetrap, mice that should put in the human trap, Obama in his second term going off on vacation, anything but Obamacare. This is an Obamacare-free. This is an Obamacare-free show. We will not talk about Obamacare. 855-400-7282. And let's see what else is in the news. I was, you know, when I woke up today, it's so long ago. You know, the show is going to be different when it's early, because in the morning I had a different set of... You want to hear what I was going to talk about today? In the morning? But by the time the night comes already, my head's a different head. I'm doing like a different show than I would have done in the morning. Here's what I wrote for the morning, The Forgotten American. If you listen to the mainstream media, one would think that 90% of Americans don't believe in God, don't believe in traditional family values, or have any strong sense of morals. I do not believe this is true. I believe the majority of you out there do believe in God, the traditional family structure, and you do try to live life doing what is right, the cardinal virtues, but have been forgotten and buried by the Hollywood and leftist so-called elitists. We see movies and TV shows all the time touting the single parent, the broken home, the drug abuser, the slut, the rehab case, as if this is normal for the majority in our country. Let me make this clear. If you are a single parent, it is an extremely difficult job, and I'm not putting you down, because I told you before my grandmother was a single parent. What I am saying is that Hollywood seems to glorify single parents, teen parents, instead of glorifying the traditional family, man plus woman, as being the ideal goal. Where are the shows that, instead of mocking the Bible, etc., where are the shows that cater to the traditional home and family? Where is Ozzie and Harriet? Where are the shows teaching traditional values and morals? Have all of our Hollywood executives been scared off, et cetera, and on and on? I was going to do that today, and I didn't. See, in the morning, I was into that. Now I'm not. Isn't that funny how I changed? Because it's a long day's journey, and tonight, I mean, Eugene O'Neill wrote that. You try this. You try getting up what I do at dawn and waiting 11 hours to go on the air. You're going to find a much different show when I go in January. Because it's a different mindset. It's strange how it really is. And it's a product of darkness, diurnal cycles. It's a product of light and darkness. It's a product of the fact that... Did you know that if you excise the part of the brain of animals that knows the cycles of light, of darkness and light... Do you know that if you take that out of an animal and you put it into a Petri dish, it will still receive and send signals based upon the rhythm of the sun, darkness and light? Did you know that? We are driven, we are controlled internally by clocks and by forces that are so deeply biological. Despite what we may do, we are still driven by biological controls. Let me give you an example of our perceptions. I was also going to talk about this morning, but now it's nighttime and I'm not in the mood for it. But let me start it so I can move into it, because it's a very interesting topic. Okay, the sun emits light. We know that. Light comes at us in rays. We know that. We learned this in this first grade. We know that light is in a spectrum. We know the acronym, Roy G. Biv. We learned that in the second grade. I don't think Hannity's school taught that. I don't think they got that in Syosset. Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Roy G. Biv. So we see red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, right? We see across the spectrum, but we don't, because sunlight has more than these rays in it. For example, there's an infrared ray. We can't see the infrared ray, can we? No. But a hawk has evolved the ability to see with infrared vision. So how does it help the hawk? When the hawk is circling over a woodland, it can pick up the urine trail of a mouse that the mouse leaves, because it leaves an infrared trail that you can't see in your ordinary spectrum of light. You don't see the urine. But the hawk picks it up on an infrared scan and can see it and then strikes. Now, of course, the military knows all of this. This is baby stuff for an engineer. An engineer learns this in high school, probably. So what am I getting at? A lot of things. We're only seeing the middle spectrum of sunlight, of a light ray. There are many other aspects of this spectrum of light that we don't see at all. So what am I saying to you? We're only seeing a part of reality. What I'm saying to you is we may think we know reality, and we know only, but we only know a certain part of reality. We don't know the whole spectrum of reality. We can never know the full spectrum of reality on our own. So we need others, and we need information to know the full spectrum of reality, which leads us to where we are in America. Most Obama and liberal voters are, as well put, well called, no information voters. Morons. I have neighbors like this. You drive by these houses, they have a new car, and you think they're smart, and they have a San Francisco flag on it of a sports team. Idiots. Just useful idiots, the type Lennon talked about. Moronic idiots with a new car. They don't know they're behind from their elbows. So what part of the spectrum are they seeing? They're not even seeing red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet in the political world. They're seeing one beam called Obama. They're seeing the O beam. That's all they see. They're blind. They're as blind as the mouse whose neck was snapped in a trap. This is Michael Savage. I'll be back with more of my news, views, and reviews in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Obama commuted the sentence of eight crack dealers, including Deval Patrick's cousin. Deval Patrick is the, I think, the governor of Massachusetts. One of eight federal prisoners granted sentence commutations by President Barack Obama today is a first cousin of Governor Deval Patrick, D. Massachusetts, one of the president's most devoted supporters of the national political scene. Reynolds Allen Wintersmith, Jr. was sentenced to life in prison after being convicted in Illinois, federal court in 1994, of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute cocaine at cocaine base, and possession with intent to distribute crack. So people are noticing these things. So someone wrote on the bottom of it, "If you like your crack dealer, you can keep him, Barack Obama." People are funny. You know, I happen to love commentary on articles. It's like graffiti of the old days, like in bathrooms. You would go into bathrooms in the 60s and there'd be graffiti. Some of it was funny. And people would like write graffiti back and forth. Well, the commentary on blogs is like graffiti. It's fabulous. That one rocks. That's Obama commuted sentence of Deval Patrick and eight other crack dealers. That's amazing. If you like your crack dealer, you can keep. God. No, we should be compassionate to crack dealers. Crack is a health food. Crack is a healthy substance. And that's why he should be commuted. It was just a childhood act. It was an act of a child selling crack. And that's why Obama, the compassionate, did this. And the man should be released to the society at large, where I'm sure he will contribute to the wholesomeness of society. Perhaps he can work with Mickey Weinstein of the Religious Freedom Foundation. I'm sure he'd find a job immediately with them. Unbelievable. Unbelievable to me. The whole issue of drugs is a whole topic for another day. 855-407-282. 855-407-SAVAGE. You know, we're coming to the end of the whole thing. The whole chinchilla is over. Looking at the calendar, 19th of December. Tomorrow is my last, till New Year's Eve. I'll be back for the night show. Last night show, mark your calendars, is New Year's Eve in this time slot. I'm coming back from vacation where I'm not even going. I'm taking off as of tomorrow for a week, which is a nightmare. So I'm looking at the void. This is a nightmare for me, the idea of it. I've canceled three vacations already of where to go. I don't want to go anywhere. I thought of taking up the saxophone, but I mean, that's ridiculous at this stage of my life. Because I'm so in love with Dexter Gordon and the others now, early jazz. I said, could I really learn the sax? Nah, forget about it. Just listen to it. Okay, I can't do that. All right, so take up painting. Can't do that. You know that I do paint. Well, I read that Zimmerman auctioned the painting on eBay and it went from 99 cents to 100 grand in 10 days. Zimmerman, George Zimmerman, I got out my old paintings. Some of them are knockouts. I did watercolors in, here are the dates on them, 77, 78. We'll call this the blue period of Michael Savage. I really should consider this. Here's a picture of a figure. There's a repetitive figure that I used to draw over and over again of a priest-like character with a priest's hat. And he's sitting on a stump staring. The figure is about an inch and a half high of the man figure in this watercolor. And then he's staring at a wine bottle, Chateau Roubiac, that's six times bigger than he is. It's beautiful. I guess you might say I was staring at the wine bottle then. Here's one, September 1977, 35,000 feet en route to San Francisco. December 15th, 1977, 35-year-old hand. I painted my hand on an airplane. I wonder what I was drinking. First wine painting. Oh, I was dipping it in red wine on the airplane. You know what would happen today if you try to paint your hand in wine on an airplane? Imagine what the rapists would do in the TSA when you landed. I'm looking through them. Here's a nice one, man, under a tree. Oh, this is the one I was looking for. This I would not sell for less than $100,000. I love this watercolor. This was my attempt to create modern art. Honolulu, 1978. It's a very primitive watercolor. Okay, palm tree on the left surrounded by blue. A nondescript pink hotel of 6 stories with a yellow door. But the pièce de résistance of this picture is there's 4 smiling people, 2 adults and 2 children, in a car without wheels. It just has a body, all sitting in the car going nowhere. That was my idea of a family vacation then. Again, okay, March 1978, when I was in the corporate world for a few months, it was a pretty nightmarish experience. I can't even describe the labyrinth I painted in this one. Then I went over to the Catskill Mountains, where I used to go as a boy. A lot of my family stories are set there, you know, Louis, the Sam the Monk, the butcher, the parents. So I went back to one of the old hotels that we used to go to on vacation. We're poor people, but we go to little vacation places. It was, you know, swimming. There's no swimming in this. It's like an inner city kid going. I go back to one of these places, and I visit it, and the swimming pool is cracked and empty, and there's weeds growing in it, right, as you would expect many years later. So I drew a picture of a cracked swimming pool with weeds growing out of it. That's got to be worth $150,000. Here's one with a coffee cup. No, it's pretty good. A Field of Anise is good. Here's a great one of an Amtrak train called the Shy Clown. Very good. There's only about 10 of them. I tried painting after that. I never got anywhere. Isn't it funny how people can do certain things in different phases of their life? Instead of painting pictures, I paint them verbally on the radio now. Each one of my shows is a verbal painting. Good, bad, and ugly. Some great, some ordinary, some average, some boring, some a mixture of all. But I'm painting verbally for you. Each
Join
show is
Savage
a painting.
Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
You're lucky you're not in my business. If you have to do this for a living and read these headlines from 8 o'clock in the morning till I go on the air.
You're crazy from all this.
You know, headlines, they're written to catch your... But it really goes on. Someone said to me today, I don't watch the news because it's made to scare people.
The Savage Nation.
I said, yes, it is. That's because the world is a terrifying place. It's not made to scare you. There are very evil people out there, evil nations, and evil things going on.
Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
That's it, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Party on. I was reading about the fact that all new computers have cameras in them. I always feared that in my young days. I used to fear the TVs could look at us. You know, in the early days when I was young and smoked marijuana, I had these paranoid fantasies. That what if the government could look at us through televisions and people thought I was crazy? Well, now the government could look at you through your computer. Now, I just checked to see if my computer, I got a new computer, if it has a camera, and I just found out from the installer it doesn't. I said, I don't want those guys at the NSA to be looking at me when I'm not dressed. They're liable to have a heart attack. So he laughed. He said, where do you think the Savage Nation name came from? Which is very funny. But this whole issue of spying is getting so out of control when you think about it. It's tied even to what Obama's done to businesses in America. Look at this story. Brazil snubs Boeing and jet deal. In a disappointment for Boeing, Brazilian defense officials said today that they had picked the aircraft maker Saab for a $4.5 billion contract to build 36 fighter jets over the next 10 years. Listen to this carefully. The Brazilian Defense Ministry told reporters at a news conference in Brasilia that Saab was selected over Boeing because it had agreed to share more technology with contractors, blah, blah, blah. But, it's about the spying as well. The announcement comes at a time of heightened tension between the United States and Brazil. In September, the Brazilian president, Dilma Rousseff, canceled a state visit to the U.S. after revelations that the NSA was spying on foreign heads of state, including her. In a speech at the U.N. that month, Ms. Rousseff gave a blistering attack on the United States for its, quote, illegal interception of information and data. So now it's come home to roost for Obama. Now, as you've just seen, one of the results is the loss of a huge contract to Boeing. And so it's starting to implode. There's another huge story that came out today that a whole bunch of Democrats have turned on Obama over the so-called Iran deal because they understand the Iran deal is killing Israel. And so even diehard leftist senators, you know, I said enough is enough with him. They had enough of him dragging them over the cliff. So they turned on him. A whole group of very powerful senators, including Big Shoe Schumer. Big Shoe Schumer was among those loyal soldiers in the Obama family. In the Obama family imaginable. He was one of those loyal captains to that family. But even this captain turned on the guy, the Pezzo Navante. And he said, no, I'm not going along with you because you're killing Israel. He didn't say it that way, but he isn't. This is a major story. It's a major story. Even they're recognizing this man has no limits to his leftist insanity. It's a huge story. So now you got all these things working against this administration. And where's he going? To Hawaii to go surfing for 17 days. That's how he deals with stress. He disappears. That's all. 855-407-2822. So we've moved from the first hour to this hour. First hour was much different. Different pace. Now I'm into this hour. It's a different pace again. I don't know where I'm going to go yet this hour. I'm not sure. It's all intuitive. I don't know where I want to go yet. I'm all over the map, I admit. But it's better than getting stuck with like a broken needle on a record with Obamacare, 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 Obamacare. I mean, you want to push the arm of the phonograph needle, right? And so, ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk about something very important to you. Obamacare, 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 Obamacare. It's like a song. It's like a song. You want to call? You can call. There's one open line, 855-407-282. Let's take this call. Which one should I take, 7 or 9? I don't know which one to take. Which is better, 7? All right, line 7, Joe. Joe in my hometown of San Francisco on KSFO. Joe, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike. In the earlier part of the show, you mentioned that you made it to the winner's circle, and that's a statement by any measure. But one thing that you'd mentioned many years ago, when you were beginning to start a new career, you had a heated discussion with a family member, and you just blew up.
Yes.
I'm wondering, at this point, after so many years, did that, you know, blow up with a family member affect, how did it affect your career to be determined to achieve what you have achieved?
Well, first of all, here's the thing. If you don't have children, it's very hard to understand what I'm going to say. Only people who have children can understand this. And it's not a put down of those who've chosen not to or have, let us say, found themselves in life without children for whatever the reasons are. You start to live for your children. From the minute they're born, if you're a normal, sane human being, you want to put your arms around and protect them from everything on earth. It's an instinct. And it changes you for the better. It makes you a whole man. You're not complete if you're living only for yourself. It's not the way nature intended man to live. Man is supposed to live as a protector of his children and his wife. That is what man was put on the earth for. He was put here to protect his children and his wife. And whether today a woman needs that protection is irrelevant. What still goes on inside a man is this protective capacity is still within him. Would you agree with that so far?
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm saying what you're saying.
Okay. So, first of all, do you have children?
No, I don't.
Okay, so what is the impetus of your question? Because I don't know exactly what you're asking in that regard.
Well, because it was a life, I really believe that discussion that you had with a family member was a life-altering event for you.
Right. Okay, I was 50 years old. I had hit a dead end in my career. I had a very good consulting thing, and they canceled the consulting deal. I had to move into a rental house with my family, a house that I had owned as a rental, and I had to move them into this rental. It was a disaster for me. And I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. I never wanted to work again. I had very young children. Not very young. I had young children. And I had a, at that time, I won't go into exact details, I had a teenage son who was very headstrong and wanted to, you know, make a life for himself. And I said to him, sitting in that horrendous, stinking little rental house, because I felt it was so gloomy and this was the end of it. I didn't care anymore. I just didn't want to go on and fight anymore. I had too much, you know, in my life. I said to him, you know what? I don't really want to work anymore. I don't know how it came up. And he looked at me, he said, you can't quit, Dad. He said, you're too young. I got so angry. We got into a huge screaming fight. I'll never forget it as long as I live. How dare you tell me what I can do? I said to him, who are you? You're my son. You're not my father. How dare you talk to me that way? But it changed my life. I realized I could not quit for his sake. Do you understand? I had to be his role model. He could not see his father as a quitter. That's what happened that day. And frankly, you're raising a very interesting point because it still operates within me to this day. In other words, what is my impetus to go and fight as hard as I do to this day? Why do I do it? What am I trying to prove? Well, I want to prove to my children, I hope to God I live a number of great years left, I want them to see a father who continued to fight and thrive and do incredible radio shows very late on into his life, like a George Burns kind of thing. If it's 20 more years, I would do it. I might still be performing in 20 years. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. You see what I'm getting at? And at this point, it's for them, not for me. In other words, if I could have looked back, let's go backwards instead of forwards. My father died very young. He worked hard, but he didn't really achieve that much. He achieved enough for his time and place in life. As an immigrant, he did what he had to do, took care of the family. My mother never worked. He left her a small house and a little amount of money. But he never really achieved anything significant, if you want to understand that. From my perspective, I felt he should have done a lot more, being in America when he was. Even in his business, he could have gone farther. And I'm not putting him down at all. That's how I saw it. I saw it was a land of opportunity. He should have taken advantage. But things had happened in his life that threw him off track, you know, the tragedy with my brother and all. And I accepted that for him. I don't put him down at all. I mean, it broke his heart. It probably really, really hurt him deeply. So it threw him off track. But I made up my mind I wasn't going to wind up sidelined by life. That no matter what stood in my way, no matter how many impediments were put in my way, I would find my way around it, like water. I would get around anything that stood in my way. So it really goes to the same question that you're raising. In other words, what is the impetus for a man? Isn't that what you're asking?
Well, of course. See, an event like this has had a profound effect on you, but the listeners, it has a profound effect on us because it confirms the necessity for a tenacious person to persist.
And that's what I'm getting. That's what I'm trying to tell people through my own life. My coming back to life in radio 20 years ago, my having to fight every day of my radio life through odds that I could never even describe, it would take a big novel to tell people what I had to go through. A 2-year lawsuit that was laid upon my doorstep because I wanted to move on in my life, and basically I was imprisoned as though I was in a prison camp. I had to fight my way out of that. It cost me $1 million to get free. And then to wind up here and to be going January onto the biggest stations in America, and they're the best stations. Everyone, I don't care what anyone says or parses it, everybody always wanted to be on the stations I'm going to be on. There's no changing that because I know what radio is. I remember the days I started. The names of these stations, if you just said WABC, WLS, all you had to do was say those radio signals. Everyone's eyes lit up in this field because they knew what they were. Those were the flamethrower stations that everyone wanted to be on. So now, okay, so I'm going to be on them. I'm on ABC right now. But what I'm saying is in prime time, it's amazing. And it's only getting bigger. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Oh, of course.
Of course. I mean, I'm sorry to ask that question. It's begging the question as per se. It's a rhetorical question. So to me, it's a victory. But is it a victory for those who've stood with me all these years listening, knowing the you know, I complain a lot on this show. You know that I do the news. And sometimes I launch into complaints about life, my life, and I make it very personal. And people have known what I've been through, have listened to the show. Well, here it is. It's moving into another phase. Where it will end, nobody knows. I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know where it's going to end, Joe. It could be good, bad, or indifferent. I have no idea. I suspect I know where it's going to go. And I'll lay it on the line right now. Right now, I'll tell you exactly what has to happen and what's going to happen. It's the 19th of December in the year 2013. It's 18 minutes after the hour, and you can mark down what I'm about to say. My competitor, Sean Hannity, in drive time, in afternoons, across America, has had this slot all to himself all these years. I was blocked from it in many ways by forces I can't even tell you about on this show right now. But I will tell you this, my competitor, in my opinion, had something to do with it. Okay, we'll let it stand at that. He thought he had me in the mousetrap. The cartel had me in the mousetrap. His ratings have to go down because he's finally going to have real competition. His ratings can't go up. They have to go down. So mine are starting at zero in drive time. My ratings have to go up. So I have to win and he has to lose. It's that simple. I have everything to gain. He has everything to lose. So it's a no win for him. He can't win in this slot. And so therefore, it is a victory for me. And you say, well, why are you taking such pleasure? He's a nice guy. He is a nice guy. He does a very fine television show. And he should stay on television. But it's time for him to move on. We need him. It's very important. America needs him as part of the team fighting the forces of atheism, Islamofascism, and pure evil. I agree 100%. But that doesn't mean that I have to be his water carrier anymore. Or I have to sit on the sidelines and look at him like he's a great genius, because he isn't. He's gotten very lucky and gotten away with it for a very long period of time. And by the way, it's catching up with him. Joe, any last comments on the Savage Nation?
Have a wonderful December, and I'll be tuned in on the
first. Well, thank you. You must be a long-time listener. That's an amazing thing. Look, I didn't intend to say any of what I just said. This is a conversation on the Savage Nation. There's no script. There are people in this business who have a script given to them every morning by their producers. You ask people, they will tell you. They don't go off the script. They're afraid of it. There's a teleprompter. This is the part that you don't know. Many of these people put down Obama for reading a teleprompter. Well, I'm sorry to puncture the old bubble. Many people that you listen to read scripts from morning till night. Hand it to them. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Amen. It is the Savage Nation. There's a lot of news out there. I don't want to talk about it, though, because it's not news. You're not. What do you care about it? The biggest story is really the turning of the Democrat Party, the power elite, against Obama, except for fanatic diehards like Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, who are so owned by Obama that they're an embarrassment to themselves and their constituents. Other liberal Democrats joined Republicans, cross the aisle, which we hear doesn't happen, to turn on Obama over the so-called Iran sanctions bill. Today it happened. 26 senators, half of them Democrats, defied Obama on Thursday by introducing a bill that would impose new sanctions on Iran, despite urgent pleas from the so-called White House to shelve the legislation. And this is a big deal. These are not marginal senators. These are diehard Democrats introduced by Menendez. Joining them was Charles Schumer. And Schumer is as in the White House pocket as you can ever get. What they want is sanctions on Iran. They want sanctions on Iran. They're not giving Iran an ability to develop a nuclear weapon and wipe Israel off the map. Period. End of story. But Levin of Michigan, Boxer of California, were opposed to this bipartisan meeting. The joining together of Republicans and Democrats. So as you can see, there are diehard fanatics like Levin, Boxer, Feinstein, who no matter what happens, they will carry Obama's water and be an embarrassment to the human race. They actually wrote this. This is what Boxer and Levin signed. We shouldn't pass legislation now that would endanger negotiations that most people and countries want to succeed. Can you believe that Boxer would be this despicable? We know she's a despicable human being. We know she has no humanity in her. We know that Levin is nothing. Just nothing. Stands for nothing. You know when a man has no character, he's nobody? You could take a man without a dime in his pocket. If he still has his character, he has everything. You could take a billionaire who has no character and stands for nothing, and you know what he's worth? Less than zero. Levin is less than zero. Boxer is less than zero. Do you understand what character is? I wish that we could talk about what character is. I wish we could. It's not illegal.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's 33 minutes after the hour on the 19th of December, 2013. We're talking about a lot of different subjects. Many subjects. I can't go backwards on all of them. I'm just going to get the callers to get you tuned in if you just tuned in. Let's go to WABC. Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Richard?
Dr. Savage, the subject is you. I am ecstatic. I want to yell from the rooftops here in New York City that Dr. Michael Savage is going to be on primetime. I'm emailing everyone that I have on my list and even those that I don't know. I am so happy, and I just want to share that with you. You have
that's nice. Well, that's what I need is I need my loyal listeners to use Facebook and Twitter, their own friends list, to tell them to tune in on January 1st and 2nd. And then for them to spread it out through their lists as well.
Dr. Savage, I wish you health. I wish you happiness. Most of all, enjoy the holidays with your family. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a long time in coming, and a lot of people understand that. Here's some good news. A devil has died. You probably never heard of him, but Al Goldstein, the founder of Screw Magazine and a lover of hardcore porn, finally dropped dead in Brooklyn at 77. Al Goldstein, all-around rat vermin, died in hospice after a life that took him from pornography, a nude talk show that he hosted for 30 years, and a job as a Second Avenue deli greeter. He was the worst type of human being on the planet. The type of human being that brought Hitler to power, in my opinion. Can you believe this? He lived this long? A man like this lived this long? Brooklyn-born Al Goldstein, the Screw Magazine founder, made and lost a fortune as an unapologetic purveyor of hardcore porn, died Thursday after a long illness. Oh, I hope there's a hell. I really hope there is a hell. The tart-tongued Goldstein was married 5 times, arrested 19 times, and sold 140,000 weekly copies of Screw at the magazine's height in the 1970s. When he shocked the nation in 1973 by publishing surreptitiously shot nude photos of former First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy, circulation soared to 500,000. The cigar-chomping degenerate was angry and arrogant, opposed to organized religion, eager to take on any and all sacred cows. Okay, he's dead. That's all. Good for him, the little dwarf. Piece of garbage. Goldstein had a long fall from his heyday to selling his Florida estate and winding up in a homeless shelter. That I didn't know that. That's good. Never, I haven't heard of him in years. Sold the Southern estate. He wound up living in a Florida homeless shelter and sleeping in his car behind a fast food restaurant. Who would know? Communist, left-wing maniac. Garbage. Just garbage. Just filth and garbage has pervaded America. The sewer pipe of Hollywood. He was one of the shovelers of the filth. In 2004, he told the New York Times that his world had bottomed out. Anyone who wishes ill on me should feel vindicated because my life has turned into a total horror, he said. Okay, Al. Thank you. You wound up where you belong. I only hope there is heaven and hell. That's all I can hope. Because I won't meet you where you're going, I'll tell you that, Al. Let's see what else is in the most read. I like the most popular, most read. Al Goldstein, Screw Magazine founder, dies at 77, too. Ira Curry. Oh, Bronx-born Mega Millions winner goes into hiding. Someone won that? Ira Curry? Someone won the Mega Millions? The Georgia resident, I didn't know this, who will split a $648 million jackpot in a New York-based family have quickly run from the spotlight. Curry's expected to get $120 million after taxes. Well, maybe she can give it to Obamacare. Maybe she could donate it for Obamacare for a new website. Mega Millions winner Ira Curry, who lives in Stone Mountain, Georgia, claimed the lottery prize Wednesday in Atlanta. Wow. I wouldn't know what I would do. What would I do? I wouldn't change my life at all. I'd still stay on radio. What's the difference? I don't know. I have everything. What do I need everything more? Let's see. The mansion. Yeah, right. Always a mansion. They want the mansion. Oh, I saw a great show the other night. I can't remember exactly. I think of the Queen of Versailles, it was called. It was about the most greedy, slimiest two people I've ever seen in my entire life. It was some billionaire who lost it all with a disgusting wife with 5 children living in a mansion that they were building, a 90,000-square-foot mansion. He was a timeshare gonif. I think his name was Siegel, Mr. and Mrs. Siegel. And he was, you know, it showed him on the way down. Siegel's empire collapsed in 08 when the mortgage, you know, world fell apart. He couldn't sell any more timeshares, so the whole thing imploded. So the guy's 90,000, listen to what I just said, 90,000 square foot copy of the Palace of Versailles was, you know, not finished. So they show the wife, some bimbo with tight pants, with high heels, marching around with the children. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. It's enough to make you believe the Pope is right. I mean, I think the Pope was talking about the Siegels when he was talking about that kind of rich. This is beyond wealthy with any style at all. These were the two of the most disgusting people I ever saw in my life. I mean, it's enough to understand why people hate people with money. How much is enough? A Rolls and a Bentley in every stinking house and the ugly, disgusting, degenerate clothing and the spoiled children. The spoiled, rotten children mistreating the help. Well, what can I say to you? You know, God sees the truth but waits. In the end, we all get it anyway, no matter how good we think we are. One way or the other, the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you're lucky enough not to get cancer or heart attack or something horrible along the way, and you live a long enough life, you still wind up. If you live a very long life, then you got a beauty waiting for you at the end anyway. The family pushes you into a nursing home. You're incapacitated, you can't move, and the illegal aliens who take care of you push you into a corner and steal the small change that your family gives you. They beat you about the back and the neck where no one can see the beatings. They deprive you of food and water, and then they wheel you out for the family when they come to visit you. How are you, Dad? That's the nightmare. I'm joking. Phil got a kick out of that. No, it's a very dark view of life. It really is. No, once you understand that life is a torment, one way or the other, it's a long day's journey into night. Don't look for pleasure, and you'll have some. The more you seek it, the less you're going to have of it. That's all I can tell you. Look at the actors and actresses. You know, at the end of the day, you can't hate them. They're basically stupid people who couldn't be anything else. They can only read someone else's script. You take a moron like Sean Penn, for example. Take an idiot like him. No matter what he has achieved, he still hates the country or pretends to hate the country as his stock and trade. Okay? What has he learned? He was always a dummy. Always a dummy. Could only act in other in roles written for him by other people. But look what he is. Every day hates the country. But what I'm saying to you is something else. The point is that the actors and actresses, why do you think that they're always winding up in rehab? How many times do you want to gag and say, oh, this one came out, like I care about a 46-year-old hag, suddenly reveals that she's a lesbian. How exciting. Wow, that's a revelation. I read another one today. Oh, she came out. The world's waiting to hear what she does with another woman. Like I give a damn. I don't care what you do. You're still a disgusting loser. Whether you did it or not, you're a loser. No one cares. Why is that a badge of honor? Why? Or this one goes into rehab and gives a confession. That's a badge of honor for these degenerate scum. What I'm saying to you is, why do you think these people are constantly hanging on the edge of a fishhook and constantly using drugs, screwing everything in sight? Why? Why are they having sex around the clock with anything they get their hands on? Why are they using drugs around the clock? If they pretend to be so happy and so cool and so on top of it, why are they having random sex with everyone they get their hands on and using drugs around the clock and then winding up in rehab? Why? Because they're empty. They have no character. They have no soul. They're the hollow man that T.S. Eliot wrote about. They are the hollow man, not you. You are not the hollow man. They are. The Hollywood scum, they're the hollow man that T.S. Eliot wrote about. There's nothing inside them. They're straw men. But look, you heard this before in other ways. I'm just telling you about it right now. What's this now? 855-407-38. Oh, this is a good call. Charlie in Houston, Texas. I like this call. Charlie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I listened to you on KSTV, and I believe you'll be switching to the afternoon with them after that.
Great.
I'm in the restaurant business, and I always get the kick out of listening to you on the way home. But I usually am available to listen in the afternoon, and I can't listen to that other guy, whatever brand X is. I won't mention his name. But I'm happy you're coming on, and I will guarantee you that I will be one of the sponsors on that show, and I'll do some advertising.
Oh, great. What's the name of your restaurant?
The name of it is Steamboat House.
And what kind of food do you serve?
It is primarily a steakhouse.
Good. Well, I've moved back to meat and potatoes. I've given up on seafood.
It's primarily a steakhouse, but it's also a Texas History Museum.
Oh, I can't wait to visit, Charlie, in Houston, huh? Well, I promise you this, Charlie, if I come down, whether you advertise or not, on the local station, I'm going to pay a visit and have a big steak at Steamboat House.
Well, I want to make sure that you ask if is the owner there, or make sure he's there, because I want to have my picture taken with you.
You got it, my friend. Charlie, thank you so much for that call. I like what he said. You see, he's a dignity in what he said. He said Brand X. You didn't even mention his name. That's nice. That's what he should do. That's all. What else do you want to talk about? Enjoy the show. Savage uses language, sparks mind. We'll be listening next year. Love Savage gut reaction. African American used to get mad when Savage won an Obama. Country. Okay, let's go to Michigan. Michigan, Jeffrey, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Wow, Dr. Savage, I didn't think I'd ever get to talk to you. How are you? I shouldn't ask you how you're doing.
No, that's okay. You're on now, so what's on your mind?
You know, I was listening to you just by the time that Obama got in office his first term. And I had never heard you on the radio before. And you would talk about Obama and you know, being an African American, you know, I was kind of sensitive about him being in office and being happy and everything. And you used to tell us and warn us about, you know, him and his agenda. And you warned us. You said you guys ought to be scared to death. And I said, what is he talking about? And here we are, 2013, and you were right.
Let me send you Trickle Down Tyranny, because it's all in my book. And I got to say this, Jeffrey, let me return the clock back. If I were of African-American descent, which I'm not, I'm trying to project. I mean, we all project into the other man's shoes if we can. It's an imperfect projection because we are what we are. I certainly would have supported Obama when he won. I would have said, hey, that's great, right? The first African-American, just as when there was the first Jewish mayor of New York, Jews supported him. Just as when there was the first Irish champion of boxing. You know what I'm saying? It's always based on ethnic politics in America. We may be a melting pot, but people always hold on to their ethnic and national origins. That's just the way we are as people, and I understand that. But I saw that this man was a Fugazi from day one. I knew he would disappoint African Americans. I knew he would disappoint liberals. I knew he would disappoint America. I knew he was a demagogue, and he was in it only for himself from the get-go. But it's gotten worse than that, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I worry about his presidency way beyond his insincerity. I sometimes wonder, as with this Iran situation, if he's not playing for the other side. That's the part that really freaks me out.
And I'm glad to hear that the Democrats are, you know, siding with the Republicans. And I think it's just...
And right. And now look at this. Here you have top Democrat senators siding with Republicans after we're hearing that they're not getting along, Congress doesn't talk to each other, it's a dysfunctional Senate. The headline should be Senate comes together to oppose Obama on Iran. But instead, they continue to sell the narrative that there's division in the Congress. There is no division. They all know that this is a disaster that Kerry's trying to pull off. But take a guess what happened. Harry Reid said he won't even let it come to the floor for a vote. To just show you where Harry Reid is at. But I appreciate your sentiment. Stay in the line. We're sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Pelosi tells Telemundo violations of immigration law should no longer have consequences. Do you have any idea how far we have fallen as a nation? When a congresswoman of this stature is taking the side of lawbreakers, telling the American people that their laws have no meaning, the borders have no meaning, our voting has no meaning. In another day, she would have been arrested for sedition. Pelosi goes on Spanish language television and says violations of immigration law should no longer have consequences. Can you believe a story like this? That the whole government seems to have turned against the people. Well, how else can you describe it? Most people oppose illegal aliens. Most people oppose citizenship for illegal aliens. Even liberals don't want them to have citizenship because they know that they're not going to be able to afford them. You look at who Obamacare is being aimed at. It's in Spanish. Who do you think signing up for it in droves? Who do you think is being told to sign up for it? Of course they're happy to sign up. They're here illegally. They're not entitled to free medical care. And yet they're being told, sign up. And then other people who could never get an insurance policy, you're supposed to pay for them. Well, okay, you know where I feel about that. I told you it's an Obamacare-free show, but this takes the cake. Pelosi tells Telemundo violations of immigration law should no longer have consequences. That's more exciting to me than the Duck Dynasty madness. Much bigger story, but people can't grasp that one. They'd rather talk about Duck Dynasty. 855-472-8282. Oh, God, look at this story. Is it tonight? Radical feminist mob storms Catholic cathedral, hangs abortion banner from altar. They're Nazis. They become fascists. A radical feminist mob stormed the Catholic cathedral in Bologna, Italy, and hung their abortion banner on the altar. Do you understand what's going on in this country and in the world? Do you understand what fascism is? That it's not marching behind a Nazi flag and it doesn't speak German now? Do you understand what's going on? No, you don't understand any of it because you don't feel you can do anything about it, but you can. Remember my metaphor about the mouse trap. Never forget it. You want to be the mouse or do you want to set the mouse trap? Because right now they're setting the mouse traps for you and you're gladly going into the mouse trap. You're eating their cheese. You're eating their PC cheese and you're letting them snap the trap on your neck. And it's coming down to you or them, us or them. You or them, your life or their life. I'm telling you what's happening. I know just what I'm talking about. 2014 is going to be a seminal year in the survival or the death of the American culture. Either you set the mousetrap for them or they will put you in the mousetrap and break your necks. How else do you explain a story like this? It starts out with people saying, oh, all we want is equality. Oh, please give us an equal chance. Oh, don't discriminate against us. All we want is equality. Oh, just give us a chance. The next thing you know, they're hanging banners in cathedrals telling you to drop dead. It's not your church, it's theirs. What has to happen? What has to happen for you to finally see with a face of Nazism or fascism? What do you have to see? National socialism. Government imposing its will on the people. You say, well, wait a minute, they're not the government. What are you jumping to? Oh, no? The government sanctions this activity, doesn't it? The government tells you to take down the nativity scene. The government says to you, you take down the nativity scene. There should be a separation of church and state, but says nothing about this kind of fascistic assault. Whether it happened in Italy, happened in America, doesn't matter to me. It's happening to the West because we've been hollowed out by the hollow man. T.S. Eliot was right. We are the straw men. We are the hollow men. And what always happens is that when there is a void, it will be filled. And it is being filled around the globe by radical Islamists. Trust me on that one. They smell victory. They smell victory. How much farther do you have to go than our president and John McCain wants to give weapons to Islamists? Al-Qaeda is supposed to be our enemy. Boys are dying. They're crippled. They're dead from them. And we're supposed to send them weapons to knock down Assad? So which side is McCain on? Who is he fighting for? Does he even know? Which side is Obama on? Does he even know? Oh, he knows. Oh, he knows. He knows what the caliphate should look like. He knows what the Arab crescent now looks like from Libya to Syria. But he hasn't completed his work. Play some Hawaiian music going out the door because he's on his way to a Hawaiian vacation. I blame it all on Obama. I blame it all on Obama because the bully pulpit is the most powerful bully pulpit on the planet. And he's not using it for the good of America or the good of mankind.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. We'll be right back. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, you made it to hour number three for Thursday, December 19th, 2013. Can you believe it? Savage is moving to Drive Time in only a few weeks. Mark the date, January 1st, different time, on the station, best time, best stations. Take a look at the picture of me and Teddy moving to Drive Time on michaelsavage.com. And here's what's on the, oh, it's sad. Jury convicts two Muslim converts in the brutal slaughter of a British soldier in the streets of London. Remember that little story? Guess what one of these animals did after he was convicted? He kissed the Quran. The religion of peace or the religion of pieces? Wake up, you morons, before you're slashed to ribbons in the gutter. Obama advisor Podesta under fire for comparing the GOP to Jonestown. Well, the Dems are really more like Jonestown. Meanwhile, Nancy Looney Tunes Pelosi tells Telemundo that violations of immigration law should no longer have consequences. I cannot believe it. New York Post, lesbian boss fired me for being straight, says a gym teacher with a wife and children. Oh, my God. Meanwhile, on the colleges of America today, a black student lynched two white guys as an art project. Didn't really lynch him, just made it look like it was lynching two white guys to bring to light social injustices. Wow. Isn't diversity grand? Meanwhile, Barbara Wolf is on Obama, said we thought he was going to be the next Messiah. Okay, great. Other news on the Savage Nation tonight. Christie agrees to in-state tuition for illegal aliens. Michelle Obama says Obamacare is a holiday treat. Oh, goodness. Home sales tumble, jobless claims at near nine-month high. Treasury to max out borrowing by February. Target, nightmare before Christmas. 40 million credit and debit card accounts may have been affected. No, the government screwed up? Can't be. Can't be. A judge says that the Border Patrol is helping illegal aliens smuggle kids into the U.S. Why not? That's what Nancy Pelosi wants. What, are they shocked by that? And here, all of you 50s car buffs, if you want a rusted out 1954 Buick, head to Havana. Because Cuba lifted a 50-year restriction on car sales. Isn't communism great? Pope Francis is at it again. At his weekly general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis urged Christians to imitate Jesus Christ by being humble and small among the small. He trashed the prosperity gospel, and he called pompous Christians ugly pagans. I'm not making any of this up. This is not a Saturday Night Live skit about a mad pope. He said, this is the pope now, it is an ugly thing when you see a Christian who doesn't want to humble himself, who doesn't want to serve, a Christian who struts about everywhere. It's ugly, huh? That is not a Christian. That's a pagan. He warned Christians against placing themselves above others and called on the faithful to be in solidarity with the poor. Well, I would say to the Pope that I would think that our Muslim friends would agree with him, and they should be humble to all Muslims and let the Muslims step on them like doormats. This is amazing what's going on right in front of your eyes. New York City autopsy, Florida pastor died from drugs. The New York City medical examiner says the combined effects of coke and heroin killed the popular pastor of a Florida megachurch. You hear this? Results released today ruled the death of Zachary Timms accidental. Accidental? He was found dead on the floor of a room in the upscale W Hotel in Times Square on August 2011. Timms was the senior pastor at the New Destiny Christian Center in Apopka, one of the largest congregations in Central Florida. He also appeared on Christian TV and radio programs. Timms started the 7,000-member church in 1996. The Orlando Sentinel said Timms had been in and out of jail as a young man and hoped the church's youth center would keep the youngsters away from drugs and crime. Church officials did not immediately respond to a comment request. Died of coke and heroin. You hear it in Times. It's unbelievable. I mean, now you understand what's going on both sides. You get whiplashed. You get whiplashed. You don't know which way to turn. You suspect that it's all fraudulent. You ready for the next one tonight for your Thursday night? Obama frees eight crack offenders, including Clarence Aaron. President Obama today commuted the sentences of eight crack offenders. I have the order of clemency right here. That's right. He didn't release or give clemency to any of the soldiers falsely accused of crimes in Iraq for doing their jobs. Instead, he commuted crack offenders. I guess he's dashing off to Hawaii any day, and he wanted to do something good for humanity. 855-400-7282. What can you say to me? A lot of people said they loved my show after I went to the Super Bowl last year and came back and talked about the streets of New Orleans, the music, the people, the food, the smells, the sights, the sounds. Comparing it to the city I live in, San Francisco, which is devoid of any of that. San Francisco pretends to be New Orleans, and it is, and well, with the exception of North Beach in certain areas where you can still smell the garlic and the coffee. Other than that, San Francisco is just another sort of Midwestern community type. They like to think it isn't, but it is. It doesn't mean it's bad. The Midwest is nice. I like the Midwest. But San Francisco's filled with Midwesterners screaming they're free and having a wonderful, great time. And they don't understand that it's really a provincial city, always has been and always will be. And there's nothing wrong with being a provincial city. I love provincial cities. That's why I live here. Now, there's going to be such changes in the media in 2014. You don't have to be Nostradamus to see what's coming. You don't have to be Nostradamus to hear what's happening. The futilitarians in talk radio are going to implode. How much depression can they put out without cracking internally? Do you notice that I try not to go into the depression. Oh, it's all lost. Oh, we can't win. Oh, let's not. I can't do it, so I won't do it. So now I'm doing other things. It's that simple. That's why. Lucky for me, I can talk about the vitamin story being fake and go into the actual science. I found another health story that I wanted to share with you. Opioids and painkillers given to men with prostate complications damage the immune system's ability to fight cancer cells. You say, well, who cares? I don't have prostate cancer. But listen carefully. Painkillers and opioids, such as the type used that you may know of. I don't have to read it for fun, okay? OxyContin and whatnot. These pain drugs actually suppress the suppress the immune system's ability to fight off a cancerous cell. So even if you're healthy, if you are taking painkillers, you're suppressing your immune system. You may not have known that. It turns out that people who've had prostate surgery, if they're given drugs such as opioids and painkillers to help control any pain they may experience, these drugs are doing more harm than good by inhibiting the immune system's ability to fight off cancerous cells. I never saw a study on opioids and immune suppression. Never. And this is a major league study because it shows you that the overuse of painkillers in our society, again, not for cancer per se, should be avoided at all costs. At all costs, it's unbelievable. If you're taking opioids or any other painkillers, you are opening yourself up to infection and serious infection. Because the body's immune response, when it is suppressed, permits invaders to take control of the system. Just as illegal aliens are taking control of our nation because our immune system has been destroyed by these politicians. You know, I did that once. It's a great, brilliant analogy. The reason the illegal aliens are gaining such a foothold in our society is because our defense cells, meaning our politicians, have either collapsed or gone over to the other side. They're like a retrovirus. Our politicians who were supposed to protect our sacred borders, language, and culture, every day preach against our borders, against our language, against our culture, and take the side of the invaders as though they are the ones who belong here and we are the ones who are wrong. That is an autoimmune disease. They have gone over to the other side. They have become the equivalent of defense cells that have been invaded and been turned into aggressors. And we all know it, which is why their ratings are such, you know, so poor. Okay. Let's move on. That's all. You don't want to hear any of this. I want to look into aspirin and autoimmunity and I've never investigated aspirin in the immune system. I know that Linus Pauling warned me that aspirin actually suppressed the immune system. I mean, I myself take an aspirin every night, like every other, you know, cardio neurotic in America. I take a little small aspirin.
I get a tiny aspirin before bed. Like every other good little American, take a little aspirin before bed. Protect yourself from a heart attack. Take a little teeny aspirin. Watch your cholesterol and see your doctor.
You got to laugh at yourself, what punks we become. What a bunch of wimp punks we become as a nation. Weaklings. Yeah, the people who came over the High Sierra needed an aspirin every night, so they slept in the snow. I love it. The Army Rangers go to Afghanistan. They need to take a teeny aspirin every night before curling up in the snows of Afghanistan. Oh, yes. All the Navy SEALs make sure that you have a nice soft pillow and a little teeny half aspirin before you lay down in the sand at night. You want to make sure that you can keep yourself alive for another 50 years. Don't worry about the Islamo-fascist throat cutters. Worry about cardiovascular disease. Teddy likes this voice. My dog jumped up and came over and started licking my hand. He never does during a show. Hi, Ted. Look at that. Maybe he could become the new monitor of my ratings needle. If he gets up from his sleep during the show and comes over and starts licking my hand, that means I'll bet you my ratings go up. It means he likes something in the tone. He hears I'm having a good time, so he wants to be near me. See, that's a rule of life. There's an old rule in the dating world, which you heard many years ago, right? We pursue that which retreats. You remember that one? It's like if you run after someone, what happens? Let's say, you know the dating story. We pursue that which retreats. It's the basic rule of love and sex. If, let's say you're a guy and you after a girl, if she retreats, you want her more. So the guy knows he's got to play the game, make believe he doesn't want her. It's the old game, so he goes the other way, she comes after him. It's attention. Okay, we pursue that which retreats. People who are young play that stupid game. More mature people don't play that. They're more upfront with their feelings and emotions, which is better. But it's probably true in many ways, you know, in many other ways as well. There was a good article written by Selwyn Duke, Britain Savages Itself. And it was about me with the Oxford Union being invited there. It's a big story. It's actually a very big story. It's bigger than the thing with the, I forget the name, that the guys with the things they make. I don't know what this is called, the show. It's all over the media now. Duck, I don't know what they do. They make duck things. I don't watch that kind of show. I don't like men with beards like that. They bother me. I don't care what the religion is or race. Anyone with a big beard like that, it gets me sick. I imagine there's dirty food in their beard. So I don't watch it. And I mean not even religious people. Whether it's crumb cake or a piece of halva, I don't want to look at it. I don't know. I just don't look. I don't care if they're Christian, Jews. It doesn't matter. I don't like big beards. So I don't watch it. But the thing is my story with England is bigger than the duck thing. But America's a moronic nation. So Selwyn Duke understands this, and he writes an article about it. He writes about Britain. I'm going to write about what it is. So he says, Americans have long wanted to love Britain. Now Britain doesn't even love herself. Those old films were made in the days when you could still say the sun never sets on the British Empire, which at one time ruled a quarter of the world's people. Now Britain's life clock reads a quarter to midnight. It didn't surprise me in the least when David Cameron's conservative government did nothing to remove Michael Savage from the banned list. After all, with the political spectrum situated where we're heading, UK conservatives are a lot like our quasi-moderate liberals. Britain is now the incredible shrinking land. Once a bold nation, certain that English was synonymous with civilization, it is now contracting culturally into ever-tightening coils of callow and craven political correctness. If a boy says he's a girl and wants to go to school dressed like Maid Marian, the headmaster, probably a mistress today, will order a round of sensitivity training for the rest of the 8-year-olds. And dare they question his gender perception, well, it's like the headmistress who recently threatened to attach a racial discrimination note to the record of any child who didn't attend an Islamic workshop. They'll be branded bigots. Can you believe this is what's going on in the England of Winston Churchill? Anyway, that's what he wrote. And that's where we are today because of a few mice. There are only a few blind mice threatening the rest of us because we're too kind. It's that simple. Kindness. It's killing us. They're killing us because we're too kind. It's that simple. We're too kind. We're too nice. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. Got that out of my system now. We can move on. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's Michael Savage. So did you hear the press release that came out today? It's a big story in the media. It's only for people in the media, not for the regular folk out there who didn't read about it. I'll read it to you. Cumulus Media Networks, data today. Michael Savage jumps to over 200 stations nationwide airing The Savage Nation in drive time as of January 2014. Show moves from evenings to the coveted 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time slot beginning January 1, 2014, bringing Savage's unique brand of news, views, and reviews to a critical time slot on top radio station across the nation. Harris Nation taking over the popular time slot where Sean Hannity used to be heard. Poor old Sean, on the biggest signals in the country. He got the mousetrap. I'll use the metaphor of the mousetrap all night tonight. He got the mousetrap. Stations carrying the new Savage Show include WABC New York, WLS Chicago, WBAP Dallas, WMAL Washington, KSFO San Francisco, and WJR Detroit. This is the biggest news. It's the biggest news in the media. But because I am hated, and so many people are jealous of me, rather. And they're ignoramuses, by the way. They're just ignorant, jealous people. You're not reading about it. Savage is the conservative king of storytelling. Oh, that should grate my enemies. And has moved millions with his candid insights, humor, and versatility. With a PhD from the University of California and having authored 28 books, including 6 New York Times bestsellers, Savage has become the Mark Twain of our time to many. It is Savage's unique views and wide variety of discussion topics, reaching beyond politics, that have made the Savage Nation immensely popular and also the number one streamed talk radio show on the Internet. See, the facts don't lie, boys. I'm sorry to... It's that simple. Here's my own quote. You want to hear my quote, then I'll move on? This is the culmination of 2 decades in talk radio. I was born for drive time, where my pace matches that of America. Everyone dreams of being on the Cumulus Powerhouse signals. This is my dream come true, Savage said. It's simple, short, and sweet. See, here's the trick to PR. I'll teach you a lesson in PR. They asked me for my comment. Very short. I gave them 3 sentences. You can go on and on and on and on and on. 3 sentences. If you can remember any of it, you remembered something. You may remember where I said I was born for drive time. Or you may remember I said this is the culmination of 2 decades in talk radio. Or you may remember I said everyone dreams of being on the Cumulus Power signals. Maybe you'll remember this is my dream come true. You might remember any of that or none of it. The Savage Nation is taking over the popular time slot where Sean Hannity used to be heard. Used to be heard. Used to be heard. On the biggest signals in the country. Stations carrying the show include WABC, WLS, WBAP, WMEL, KSFO, and WJR. Now, I'm driving that home for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm victorious, and it's nice to be victorious, and I'm doing a victory lap. If I don't do it, who will do it for me? You? You're going to do it for me? Someone else is going to do it for me? It's a gigantic story for me, and it's a culmination of 20 years of work.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Dog 560 KSFO.
The American people in solidarity with you. We are here because your peaceful process and peaceful protest is inspiring your country and inspiring the world. Ukraine will make Europe better, and Europe will make Ukraine better. People of Ukraine, this is your moment. The free world is with you. America is with you. I am with you.
Here's the question. Was McCain born crazy, or do you think he became crazy from the torture he sustained in Vietnam? That's the only question I have. I mean, we do respect what the man lived through at the hands of his Vietnamese torturers. We respect that service to America. But you can't forgive him for what he's done ever since. He went to Egypt after we'd installed the dictator Morsi, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. The people rebelled, threw Morsi in jail. They begged for the military to come back. And this fool went over there and said to the people, oh, take Morsi back. Take our stooge back because that's democratic. They almost threw him in the Nile River. The man has learned nothing of what he is talking about. How does he do it? Who do you think is paying McCain to go around trying to stir up war? You remember he went with that loser from, what is it? It was McCain and the other clown. They went over there trying to get us to bomb Graham. Those two losers should have been thrown in jail for what they did. They went to Syria and tried to stir up a world war. They were telling us to use our air force against Assad. Do you understand what that would have triggered? Do you have any idea what that would have done to the world's stability or instability? And they got away with it. They come back. There's no consequences for their behavior. None whatsoever. They're like roving viruses. Wherever they show up, something goes wrong. Somebody dies. Speaking about dying, I want to go back to a health topic on the Savage Nation just to show you we can jump at a moment's notice without scratching the record. Remember I said to you earlier, I don't know if aspirin suppresses the immune system? Because I just told you opioids do. which all pain kills should be avoided as often, I mean, as frequently as possible. Hard, never used them. My mother wouldn't even take an aspirin. All right, so she lived to 88, though, because she could have lived longer if the butchers didn't get her at the end. I'll never forget, that was a horrible story. She got bowel, you know, cancer, but it was a slow-growing tumor, and she was going to go into surgery after a few months. A Chinese doctor called me crying, begging me not to permit the surgery. He was so wonderful. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't there. He said, please don't let them do it to your mother. She could live another 5 to 10 years if they don't open her up. They opened her up, and she suffered violently and died. Okay, that's the butchers of, you know, what can you do about it? But that woman wouldn't take an aspirin. Now, I told you that by reading this study that I quoted earlier on opioids and painkillers suppressing your immune system and opening you up to infection, you should avoid painkillers, right? So I said, wait a minute, what about aspirin? Because I remember Linus Pauling told me that aspirin suppresses the immune system, but I never, ever researched that. Well, I just did. It's been known since at least 1975. Here it is. You ready for this? Increased virus shedding with aspirin treatment, JAMA, 1975. Now, these studies are not well known, but here's one right now, 1990. Adverse effects of aspirin, acetaminophen, and ibuprofen on immune function, viral shedding, and clinical status in rhinovirus-infected volunteers. Without describing the study, you should understand that anyone who took aspirin and acetaminophen in the study, the viruses that they were given lasted longer rather than shorter. So if you get a viral infection, don't take aspirin, don't take acetaminophen, don't take ibuprofen, take massive doses of powdered vitamin C. And I don't care what the quack drug peddlers tell you. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care what the quack drug peddlers tell you. That's what they learn in the drug peddling school. 855-400-7282. So I may stop taking aspirin now, and I love aspirin. Aspirin works like a tranquilizer for me. It's amazing what aspirin does for me. It's like a sleeping pill. I'm probably a super inflamed individual, which should have killed me 25 years ago. Again, doesn't make any sense. My lipids are upside down. LDLs are reverse of the HDLs. Triglycerides are off the chart. But thank God there's a fraction, a lipid fraction, that you cannot control through any medication nor through any vitamins. It's called LPA. It's an inherited fraction. My LPA is extremely low. All the others are like a Frankenstein. So I don't take any of those drugs. I tried them once. My legs went out. Horrible. A nightmare. Lipitor. No matter what dose, no matter what brand, I can't take them. So I said, I can't live with it. I'd rather live like this and take my vitamins and vitamin E and the garlic and the alcohol and, you know, watch my diet, which I've been doing for 50 years. 40 years, I've written books on it, for God's sakes. I'm not going to go for the drugs. And so I said, how am I still didn't get one of those, huh? Didn't think of that. So about 5 years ago, it was LPA, turns out, very low, lipoprotein A. You cannot modify it. So I must have gotten my mother's, genetics in that regard. So now I'm going to make jokes about it now if you want. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. God bless her. And I'm starting with, you know, the Anthony Perkins now with the Hill, with the old house, the Victorian, the wig. Go ahead, see if I can't make No, I'm not going to appear on stage in my mother's clothing. No, I'm not doing it, even for a laugh. It's all funny anyway. What does it mean? God laughs at all of us. We're just as marionettes at the end of the day, Teddy. We're just as clowns. I think God is bored sometimes. He created us just for entertainment. Can we get that feeling? The whole thing's like a psychotic whack job joke. And that we just created as an entertainment for some, you know, space creature. We take every second so seriously. Every step we have, like, over our head a camera. Every one of us is like a roving director, producer, and camera following us. I am now going into the boardroom. I will now deliver a speech. I will talk about profit and loss. I will motivate the salespeople. I will fire the senior vice presidents. I will do this. I will do that. You know. Okay, fine. I mean, we have to do something in our life. I will get up and do a radio show. I will be brilliant. I will be witty. I will be poignant. I will get ratings. I will move on to all the big stations in January, right? Then what? What happens? Well, you know God's got the card. You know he's going to throw some curveball. You know that. You just know it. You just know that there's going to be a curveball somewhere that you don't expect. But you got to go on as though this is never going to happen. You got to go on as though you believe that, you know, it's will that you can't believe right to the end. It's going to go your way. And you usually can, okay, you keep pushing, you can't. Otherwise, you just give up and you become like a leaf in a stream. I mean, what do you want to be, a human being with willpower? Or you want to be a leaf in a stream that just the current takes you down, you know, and that takes you into the sea or the sewer? Where do you want to go with that? My father used to say to me, and this is how he turned me into a strong person, I'll tell you right now. I don't know how I got into this. I don't even mean, I went from aspirin to my father and mother. But okay, either you like what I do or you don't. Either you get my drift or you don't get it. Either you dig the whole thing in the, what do you call this, free associationalism? Fine. Either you like it or you don't. Either it's too much for you or it's not enough for you. Or you can take more of it or you hate it all. It's that simple. It's worked for me. Hey, look where I am and look where you are. I mean, it's worked for me. Don't tell me how to do a radio show. I got to tell you, this is what I do. I'm not going to be a shill for George Bush and the Republican Party for the rest of my life. What's wrong with these people? That's what they're doing now. You know, it's been such a long time. Do you realize that there are kids who grew up listening to me who were mere children in their car, in their father's car, who started the father would play the father's dead. No, it's a sad. I get people who write me and they say, I don't even want to go it because it gets more than they say. Look, I grew up listening to you, Mike. My father used to love you. I didn't really understand you. Now he's gone, and I listen to you. You're like a father to me. It's unbelievable to me. I don't know where the time went. I don't know where the time went. In many ways, I feel like the Zorba character. I'm very much like an ancient man, and a man like me should live 1,000 years. I've said that many times in very intimate moments. I sometimes look out the window and I say, a man like me should live 1,000 years. It's terrible, the thought of this kind of evolution to be just disappear from the earth. I know it sounds, you know, narcissistic and egomaniacal, but let me tell you something. That's how I feel. What's the point of developing yourself to this level? To spend so much time with so much education, so much learning, so much creativity, so much productivity, only to wind up as dust. Well, you'll have to ask God for that answer because I don't have it. You know, really, it's a metaphysical question and a theological question. There's no answer to it. Of course, you know, when you think about it, Plato wrote a little bit about it in his dialogues where he has a conversation with a slave boy who was uneducated. I remember that was a great dialogue between the interlocutor and the slave boy. And he says to the slave boy, well, slave boy, tell me this. And then the slave boy says that. Well, slave boy, tell me that. And the by the way, there were slaves in ancient Greece, and they were Greeks, incidentally, in case you missed that part of history. And slave boy, so he says, and he proves through this dialogue and through Aristotelian logic that there must be reincarnation because although the young kid had never been schooled, he was able to do mathematics. So to him, this proved that there was reincarnation, which was quite charming. So did you hear about this scandal now about the waste in government? Senator Coburn came out about the spending that goes on in the government. This is why they're cutting pensions of our military men. Are you ready for this? I'll give you one example. The so-called Department of Defense, under Hagel the Bagel, is leaving 2,000 MARPs, mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, in Afghanistan to be destroyed rather than delivered to other bases. Now, MARPs were rushed through the procurement process in 07 as IED attacks were taking a toll on NATO forces, right? Each such vehicle cost $500,000 to build. Your DOD is leaving them in Afghanistan to be destroyed rather than be delivered to other bases. I'd like to buy one. I mean, if I go to an Indian buffet, what better than to arrive at an MARP? I want to go to the Chinese restaurant. What would be better than an MARP to arrive at my local Chinese restaurant? Why can't I have one? I want an MARP. I'd pay, probably could buy it for $700 from the government. And you know that they're not going to destroy them. You know what Karzai is going to do with these MARPs. You know they're going to be shipped right to the so-called rebels in Syria. And by the way, you want to mark my words? That's why Hagel's leaving them behind. Not to be destroyed, but to be sent to Syria. Watch. You wait and see. They show up. Mark my words. I have a semi-prescient view of the world. You wait and see. Oh, big scandal 6 months from now. Oh, some of the MARPs we left behind in Afghanistan, which we told them to destroy, wound up in Syria. We had no idea the rebels would get them.
I'm Hagel the Bagel.
Yeah, move right on to Grumman. Move right on to Northrop Grumman. Chuck, it's all waiting for you. Keep on producing. keep on producing. The government media complex, the military industrial complex. Yeah, what waste, my God. The report documents how Congress authorized the purchase of 21 C-27 transport planes manufactured in Italy. That's a joke unto itself. I mean, you know, you buy an Italian airplane, despite testimony from a former Air Force chief of staff in August 2012 that under sequestration cuts, the Air Force didn't want the plane. Also said the C-130 could do the job better. Who would buy an airplane from Italy when we have the best airplane manufacturers in the world in this country? You think there was any greed and graft going back and forth? Right. We needed airplanes made in Italy because we know how well they do airplanes. I mean, if you want pasta, you go to Italy. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I got to tell you, give me a minute to blow my own horn if you don't mind. And I don't want to offend you, but I may anyway. Let me tell you something. When I started in radio, when I picked up that horn, I knew within a few days that I was born for this medium. It was very late in life. I had three other careers. I trained for something else entirely. But I knew in my mind that at the end of the day, I didn't know how long it would take me. I'd be in the winner's circle. And I always said I'd be in the top three at the end of the day. I told you, I've said that for many, over the years, I've said it on and off. Well, it's the end of a 20-year cycle. How many people would wait two decades for this? I have always had what I call jokingly within my family, no matter what things set me back, and many things have. I've had impediments put in my way. I put impediments in my own way. I've had things happen that threw me off. I always knew I'd win, and I always knew it would take a long time, and I was willing to wait out my competition. And I always had what I called in my own family, and this is a laudatory statement about the Chinese people, not a derogatory one. I always had a Chinese view of work and work ethic and winning, which is I used to say to myself when things went bad, I said, you know what, in the long run, I will see the long run. I see the long run. I'm going to win, and I could wait them out, and I waited them out. And this is not the end of it. This is just the beginning. I hate to go on and on about it, but he got bumped off two big stations. Something is going on in the radio world that only people in the business would understand, and I don't want to bore you with it. There's something very big changing for 2014. There are monstrous subterranean movements going on in this business, and I think you can pretty much figure out what they are. And I want to say one last thing on it. This idea of doing a television show, a radio show, and a TV show is a 1980s thing. Very greedy, very foolish. The smart ones got out of one medium and stayed in the other a long time ago. Remember Rush had a TV show and he was good at it? I love Rush's TV show. He dropped the TV show. He focused on what he does really good, radio, and it's worked real well for him. Remember even Leprechaun had a radio and TV show? Remember what Leprechaun did 4 years ago? Leprechaun O'Reilly, he dropped his radio show, focused on TV. He's done real well. Of course they gave up money when they did it. But in order to thrive in one medium, you got to give up the other. You can't do both, Sean. You can't. You can't. And if you think I'm undermining you, you're right. Because both of us are facing each other down right now. We're like two fighters in a ring, whether you want to accept it or not. And we're staring at each other as the referee says, get ready for January 2nd. And I'm telling you, you got to drop radio. Either run for office or just drop it. Because you're not going to make it in both. You got hammered in television, Sean. They moved you back an hour. Sorry, too bad you had a good run. In radio, you're being decimated. You're being moved off major signals because the young people just don't listen to you. They don't like you. They don't want to listen to your rubbish. That's all. And here I am. I'm older than you, and I'm beating you. Why? Well, you'll figure it out one day. Now, if I made this too personal, I'm not going to apologize. It just is. It's all about the mousetrap. I'm not putting my neck in a mousetrap for anybody anymore. Let me put it to you that way. And there's much more to the story than you may know. Many of these people thought they had me in the mousetrap for 20 years, but they didn't understand that they were setting the trap for themselves. 855-407-282. Look at this story. Brazil snubs Boeing and jet deal. In a disappointment for Boeing, Brazilian defense officials said today that they had picked the aircraft maker Saab for a $4.5 billion contract to build 36 fighter jets over the next 10 years. Listen to this carefully. The Brazilian defense ministry told reporters at a news conference in Brasilia that Saab was selected over Boeing because it had agreed to share more technology with contractors, blah, blah, blah. But it's about the spying as well. The announcement comes at a time of heightened tension between the United States and Brazil. In September, the Brazilian president, Dilma Rousseff, canceled a state visit to the U.S. after revelations that the NSA was spying on foreign heads of state, including her. In a speech at the U.N. that month, Ms. Rousseff gave a blistering attack on the United States for its, quote, illegal interception of information and data. So now it's come home to roost for Obama. Now, as you've just seen, one of the results is the loss of a huge contract to Boeing. And so it's starting to implode. There's another huge story that came out today that a whole bunch of Democrats have turned on Obama over the so-called Iran deal because they understand the Iran deal is killing Israel. And so even diehard leftist senators, you know, I said enough is enough with him. They had enough of him dragging them over the cliff. So they turned on him. A whole group of very powerful senators, including Big Shoe Schumer. Big Shoe Schumer was among those loyal soldiers in the Obama family. In the Obama family imaginable. He was one of those loyal captains to that family. But even this captain turned on the guy, the Pezzo Navante. And he said, no, I'm not going along with you because you're killing Israel. He didn't say it that way, but he isn't. This is a major story. It's a major story. Even they're recognizing this man has no limits to his leftist insanity. This is a huge story. So now you got all these things working against this administration. And where's he going? To Hawaii to go surfing for 17 days. That's how he deals with stress. He disappears. That's all. 855-407-282. I'm all over the map, I admit. Obama in his second term going off on vacation. Anything but Obamacare. This is an Obamacare-free show. We will not talk about Obamacare. But it's better than getting stuck like a broken needle on a record with Obamacare, 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 Obamacare. Ugh. I mean, you want to push the arm of the phonograph needle, right? And so, ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk about something very important to you. Obamacare, 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 Obamacare.
Savage.